The following is a production of JSC Media. Stay ready.
You're listening to the People's Podcast.
I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another.
This is JSC Radio.
What's up, man?
What's up?
How you in at work?
Got fired yesterday.
For real? I thought you had a day off yesterday.
I did. I went in there to pick up my check. Came home, supervisor called me about 4 o'clock, talking about they got me on videotape stealing boxes.
What the fuck you doing stealing boxes for? What, you trying to build a clubhouse? Man, I know you ain't go out like that.
Hell no, they ain't got me on tape. She said they did, fired me on the spot. Talking about pressing charges.
God damn. You got to be a stupid motherfucker to get fired on your day off.
You're listening to the People's Podcast. This is JSC Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Hey, how's it going? My name's Jay Scott Smith. Y'all already knew that, though. And this is the 123rd episode. That is episode 123 of the People's Podcast. This is J. Scott Confidential. You also know it as JSC Radio. How the hell's everyone doing? Want to say what up and shout out to everybody who's checking us out for the first time or coming back after the last time or coming back after a long time. It don't matter when the hell you're coming back or if you're just joining us. I'm just happy you're here. So thank you. Damn it. Thank you. Of course, want to shout out everybody who supports the show across all the different podcast providers. Of course, we're starting off on Spotify. Don't forget Apple Podcasts, which used to be known as iTunes. We're also on, we're also on Amazon Music. We're on iHeartRadio. We're out there on the Odyssey app, if that's the sort of thing you're into. We're on Pandora and SoundCloud and just about everywhere else you get your podcasts. Be sure, of course, to follow me on the social medias. I'm at Twitter because that's the name of the site. It's Twitter. For how much longer? I have no idea. That's J. Scott Smith, JSCO2TSSMITH. Everywhere else, I am Real J. Scott Smith. That's on Instagram. That's on Threads. That's on Blue Sky. And yes, we got a Substack coming. RealJScottSmith.substack.com. So yes, all over the place. And that Substack is actually going to be launching soon. It's going to be going to get a little raw and a little real with the first major post I'm going to drop on Substack, but you'll also find episodes of the show on Substack as well. So remember, it's Real J. Scott Smith, damn near everywhere, except, of course, on the Twitter machine, where I am still J. Scott Smith. Also want to shout out my man, Doc Illingsworth. Of course, you hear his music all the time. You hear the beats underneath you so often when you listen to the show. Plus, of course, the song Blue Chucks, which is the de facto theme of this podcast. That's by my man, Awesome Jones. You hear that every single time you pop this podcast in, no matter where it is. Thank you so much for showing love to the show. So for episode 123, and we've had a lot going on. I'd actually planned on getting this episode out a little sooner than today, but got a lot going on. And, this episode is going to talk about people getting fired. And I'm not saying that in a flippant sort of way. I'm saying that in just an honest way. Because, the reason I haven't been on your TV since December was because I was fired. I'll get into all the details on that on Substack. But it was some bullshit, needless to say. What else is definite BS is how thousands upon thousands of people have been losing their jobs since a certain administration took hold. Not sure how this country gets made better by putting so many people out of work needlessly, but I digress. And it's part of a bigger picture here, because it's not just the federal workers and the people at the VA. Pretty much every level of federal government jobs, good money, good jobs, long-standing jobs, like the type that brings people from being in poverty to at least having a nice middle-class living, if not a little bit better, gone needlessly in the name of quote-unquote efficiency. I work in an industry, or have worked in an industry, that often uses that efficiency excuse to get rid
of scads and scads of people. Unfortunately, as I've mentioned, I've been fired numerous times. In our industry, the media industry, if you will, we're often, much like how you'll hear like coaches and managers or like baseball teams or basketball teams, football teams talk about they get hired. They're hired to be fired, basically. A lot of that also happens in the media industry, especially if you work in radio or TV, where at any given moment, no matter how great things are, no matter how good of a job you're doing, you can suddenly walk into work like I did 2 years ago, strolled into work on a Thursday morning with a tripod in one hand and my in the other, and wearing my Michigan State Spartan Strong t-shirt and my Spartan sweatpants, and was planning on just another Thursday on the air, and all of a sudden I get led off into a room where a woman from HR is waiting on me, telling me that there are going to be newsroom cuts and that my position has suddenly been eliminated. It should be noted that the only cut that was made was me. But, again, neither here nor there. It happens just that quickly. That all of a sudden, you're like, holy shit, I ain't got no gig. And it's not for anything you did wrong. You just walk in, you ain't got no gig. And admittedly, I mean, for those of us who've gone through this, whether you work in my business or any other industry, you often cringe when you hear the rationale for when a company goes through and just takes a blowtorch to their workforce saying, we're making things more efficient. We're streamlined. We're not firing people. We're streamlining. We're getting stronger by getting rid of all these more than capable and able people. You know, the ones, especially in media, it's a thing. And I'm gonna go off on a bit of a tangent here. But in media, it's a thing that they love to lop off talent, lop off producers, albeit some producers probably do need to get lopped off. But they'll lop off talent, lop off producers, take out all the front-facing people. But a lot of the people who sit in the offices and management, strangely, they aren't thrown into the pile of everybody else who suddenly finds themselves without a job and has to jump on unemployment or hope for severance packages, assuming they get severance packages. You know, it's the salespeople, because often the excuse that's thrown out in radio and in television is the poor sales. They haven't been able to sell. They haven't been able to sell ads. They haven't been able to bring in revenue. Well, getting rid of a bunch of talent, but keeping all the salespeople who are seemingly incapable of making a lot of the sales doesn't seem to make a lot of sense now, does it? Yes, I'm shooting today, baby. That's the unfortunate way of life when you get laid off. When you get fired, it can all depend on whether you did something or you didn't do something. Is there something behind it? Is there a reason why you suddenly get rushed out the door, suddenly get shoved out? I will tell you, as someone who knows a thing or two about getting laid off or about getting shoved out of the door and fired, you can tell there are signs that no matter how good of a job you're doing, if someone don't want you there, they're going to find every reason to get your ass out of there. I'm living proof of that. They don't want you. They'll get you on some trumped up charges and make sure you're gone. And it sucks. There are a lot of people going through that right now. This is the start of something ugly in this country, not just socially. And I would say the start of something politically. That happened a decade ago. But this is the start of something ugly in this country. Like, this is just the first inning of this. We're just really getting started, bro. And we're going to need to look out for each other. The toughest thing is, and I say this as someone who was fired under a BS premise not that long ago and who's been fired under a BS premise before and has known others who have gotten fired or laid off under really shitty circumstances, I want to shout out to my friends. I got a couple of really good friends at ABC who lost their jobs as ABC is going through their purge. I've known people at Scripps, another media company. They just went through their purge. Like, don't think that your gig is safe. I guess that's the first tip I would say. Never think that your gig is fully safe. You may have a contract. You may have longevity. Hell, I was nominated for two Emmys. 2 months after or 2.5 months after the Emmy ceremony, I was suddenly thrown out on my ass. I've won 4 Murrow Awards and was the only person taken out as a part of a set of newsroom cuts, plural. They only cut me. Your gig is never safe. So you want to make sure, especially in this day and age of being able to multitask, you have to be able to have something there as a backup secondarily save your money. When it happened to me 2 years ago, I was in a pretty damn good place as I had plenty in the reserves. This time, not so much, and I'm paying the price for it. I'm feeling it right now. It's kind of scary hours around here a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. You want to make sure you take care of your money. You want to make sure that you cover all your bases across all your T's, dot all your I's. Make sure you keep as many emails as you possibly can that you might think could be a little bit important to you, either just work-wise, just for file's sake, or you never know in case you have a grievance over how it was done. And then there's the thing that's been kind of lingering with me, and I've unfortunately seen it a lot because I've seen it from friends who've been fired, having dealt with it myself, having lost jobs for multitude of reasons before, and just seeing it from others. Whoever might happen to hear this, if you feel some sort of way because I'm saying it, guess what? I don't care. But check on your people who lose jobs, especially under shady circumstances. I get it. I spent enough time on LinkedIn, and a lot of other people spend enough time on these job sites. You'll see this refrain said a lot about jobs and about workplaces. The workplace is not your family. Your coworkers are not your family. And to a certain extent, that's true. But if you've been in a place for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, you do develop relationships with people there. Especially in the industry we work in, you do develop a bond with some of the guys and gals that you work with. You develop a bond with some of the producers or some of the line editors or some of the, if you're in TV, some of the camera operators, the photogs. You develop a relationship with the assignment editors, the other writers, the other reporters. Somebody gets let go, especially if it's under some shady circumstances. It's okay to reach out to them. You ain't got to talk to them all the time. You ain't got to constantly check up on them, even though that's not a bad thing. But it doesn't hurt to check on your people, especially if just a week before or a day before, the day it goes down, you're acting like you're super cool in your family. Check on your people who've lost their gigs and just listen to them. Getting fired or laid off is going to mess with your head. And if you've never been through it, be thankful. Hopefully you never have to go through this or have to go through what so many others are going through. I've been on both ends of the spectrum where I've been in newsrooms where the blowtorch came through and took out a bunch of people, and I was one of the people who survived. I was one of the people who didn't get let go. And I've been the only guy to get let go in a slew of layoffs. The survivor's remorse is real. And if someone you know gets taken out via a bunch of layoffs, reach out to them. Check on them. See how they're doing, especially if you claim that they were family or claim the people that they were friends or that you had their back. Going silent is not good because you never know what people are going through, especially after something like this. That's why I said I feel for my people that I know who've been laid off since I got let go. That stinks. You don't want to deal with it at any point in time. Your whole life gets upended. You don't have steady money coming in unless you're getting severance or unemployment or both in some cases, or you got money saved up and you can at least kind of sit back and chill or at least kind of regroup and figure everything back out again. Not everybody has that. And sometimes when you're going through that feeling of getting fired, that devastating moment when they say that you're either your position has been eliminated or your department has been eliminated or you are being terminated effective immediately, or whatever other terminology these people use. That's a devastating moment. I still remember sitting at that table in Philadelphia on March 2nd, 2 years ago, thinking that I was going into work. They didn't even let me go in there and say goodbye to anybody. They basically tried to perp walk me out the door like a criminal. It's not a fun feeling. They dehumanize you. These businesses, these corporations, regardless of the industry, will treat you like garbage on the way out, mostly. So if someone's going through that, reach out to them. Check on them. Say hi to them, because you never know what that can do for somebody. So it's hard out here. This is not a scenario anybody asks for. Another thing I would say, if you know somebody who's going through this moment of having to figure out what's next, you have to understand, when you lose your job, and you don't have like a second or third job, or you don't have a bunch of streams of income, even if you do, that's a devastating moment, and you're trying to figure out what there is to do. don't come in so heavy with the toxic positivity, as I like to call it. Going around telling people to keep your head up, be positive, smile, be happy, it's okay, everything's going to be all right. Let people grieve. Think about that again. Let people grieve. It's like losing a family member. It's like losing a good friend. Let people grieve. Some people bounce back quickly, and they're just like, it's like water off a duck's back. F it. Let's keep it rocking. But some people, it hurts. And it's not easy. And you're going to go through just a wave of emotion. You're going to run the gamut of emotions. Because if you're anything like me, you have to wonder, did you see it coming? Is there something I could have done differently? Could I have just gotten out beforehand? Other people go through that too. Sometimes the layoffs catch them completely off guard. Sometimes they know the layoffs are coming 2 months in advance. And even the mental prep of that is still damaging to you. Be there for your people, but don't push the positivity so heavy. Let them get there in their own time. Because if they're trying to find a job after this, that could easily break them down. And here's a word to the employers and the recruiters and everybody else out there. And again, this is regardless of your industry, but I'm going to speak for myself being a broadcaster who's been looking for a new gig, and been dealing with a lot of recruiters and interviews and phone calls and everything else. Please don't waste our time. If you're not interested in us, do us the common courtesy, and I mean this across the board in any industry, do us the common courtesy to tell us. The worst part of this is when, I mean, it's bad enough if you get ghosted by somebody you met on a dating app or somebody you went out with a couple of times and then all of a sudden their ass don't want to respond to messages anymore. They just completely dip out on you, don't say anything else. That sucks in one vein right there. But when you're desperately trying to find a new job and you get past the first interview, second interview, it looks like you got a nice rapport going. People start kind of talking about money, because that's a thing that happens a lot in this industry on the media side. They'll start talking about money. They'll start talking about flying you out for second interviews, having you come in, having you meet the staff. And then all of a sudden, as it comes up closer to the time that you're supposed to do it, they go radio silent. The same people who are very quickly responding to your phone calls or text messages or emails or DMs, suddenly you couldn't find that mother if you sent Inspector Gadget looking for him. James Bond couldn't find him. Dog the Bounty Hunter couldn't locate him. And it's even grimier when you see them answering other people and you know they're ducking you and you know they're dodging you. I don't think a lot of you understand how difficult it is for a lot of us right now, no matter the industry. Is it too much to ask that you just show a little common courtesy and at least give people the dignity of telling them you don't want them, you're not going to hire them, something changed, instead of going silent, and then all of a sudden they have to find out on an announcement made on LinkedIn or an announcement made on a press release that you hired somebody for the spot you were just telling them a day before you're going to fly them in and interview them for? Show a little decency. Treat people with dignity, because that could be your ass on the end of it eventually, too. One more thing. Give people just a little bit of room and a little bit of grace. And that's asking a lot, as we're now living in a country that is basically built on bullying and demeaning other people. But show a little bit of grace. Show a little bit of common courtesy. Show a little bit of love. I know it's hard. Even those of you who've got jobs and you're nervous right now, too, because I know a lot of people who work these federal jobs, work these jobs that you didn't realize were federal jobs, government jobs, or had some sort of government leaning in on it, that are nervous. You got people at media companies, like people at, dare I say, Odyssey, where I used to work, where they're talking about laying off a bunch of people again. Everybody's on edge. Everybody's nervous. Everybody's fucking scared right now. So be easy on people. Show a little bit of grace, a little bit of patience with others, and just try to look out for each other. Have each other's back. It's been scary hours, like I said, over here. A lot more scary than I'm probably let on publicly. That's another reason why it took a little longer to get this episode out. We're all trying to survive out here. Probably going to need a little bit of help from y'all. I would say check the description of this podcast to see what I mean on that. But before I go, I would be remiss if I didn't close out this episode with a bit of a dedication to a man named Andy Isaac. Now, y'all may not know who he is, but those of us Detroit sports fan Twitter OGs going back to 2000,
2007, 2008, 2009, the darkest of dark ages with the Detroit Lions. Y'all know who Andy Isaac is. The Twitter handle, World of Isaac, with the picture, the profile picture is Ted Lang from The Love Boat, because his last name was Isaac. Ted Lang was Isaac. Yeah, you see what I'm doing. Andy Isaac died on March 6th, the day before I recorded this. He was 44 years old, 1 year younger than me, from the Detroit area. We were both at Michigan State at the exact same time. And when I first got onto Twitter back in 2008, back in those deep, dark ages of the Detroit Lions, the 0-16 season was my first year on Twitter. He was one of those guys I remember seeing early on in the early, back when Twitter was Twitter, man. Back when Twitter was effing fun. Back when you get on there and it would be some of the coolest you could think of. We were all basically commiserating in misery because the Lions were so awful. And Andy was such a good dude. Always encouraging. Always funny. Plus, he was the rare guy who was a Spartan. He was as dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore MSU guy as I was. We didn't have a lot of them. While the Lions were going through the dark ages, and the Tigers eventually followed them, and then the Red Wings and Pistons eventually followed them, dudes like Andy were holding it down for the Detroit sports fans. There's a group of us, like the old heads on Twitter. And Andy had been living with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's living with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Since first being diagnosed in 2006, he actually was able to go into remission for a few years before the cancer returned. And over the last few years, the last 3 years, of course, have seen that renaissance of the Detroit Lions, where the 0-16 year eventually gave way to years of mediocrity led by Matthew Stafford. Go back to the early days of this podcast if you want to know what I felt about old number 9. And then in the last 2.5 years, the Lions finally woke up. They finally got right. For guys like me, for guys like Andy, for so many of the Lions super fans, we're finally back, baby. And Andy was at that Lions playoff game at home against the Rams. They finally get a win at home. They finally get a playoff win for the first time in more than 30 years. They got their first division championship in 30 years. Should have gone to the Super Bowl, but we won't talk about that NFC championship game in San Francisco. Still pisses me off. But the Lions are back. And anybody who followed Andy, anybody who follows Lions Twitter and Detroit sports fan Twitter, you may know Andy for 3 simple letters. FTB.
Fuck the Bears today. Fuck the Bears tomorrow. And fuck the Bears every day of our goddamn lives.
That's right. FTB is fuck the Bears. We all said it. Andy made it a hashtag. Andy made it a thing. He loved to eat. He loved checking out food all over the Detroit area. And he would, especially as he was really going through, and probably at first, I didn't recognize it initially. A lot of us didn't, but he's going through the throes of that illness. And as someone who's had friends and family members affected by cancer, my own mother was diagnosed with cancer 30 years ago, and she ended up beating it, still here. But watching people go through cancer treatment, cancer is such a scourge, man. It's so awful. And you're fighting that disease, and you have your good days, and you have your bad days. And on the good days, Andy was great. And he would go, and he would get food, and he would obviously take a bunch of pictures. He would shoot some content for it, just have a lot of fun checking out restaurants, hitting up different spots. He called it Fatterday, because usually it would be Saturday when he would actually post. It would often be either the Saturdays during MSU football games or the day before Lions games or during MSU basketball games. If it's Saturday, it's Fatterday with Andy Isaac. One of the running jokes that we'd had with him over the last couple of years, because the Detroit Pistons, who now have finally started going through their own little renaissance this year, the Pistons were so bad that the only thing that people who went to Pistons games could look forward to, because Andy had season tickets, was there's this place called the Sausage House. It's inside Little Caesars Arena. And it seemed that every single time he would go to a Pistons home game, the sausage house would always be closed. And it became like a running thing where he would have the picture from outside the sausage house, to the point where anybody else who went to a Pistons game during the week, if they happened to catch the sausage house open, they would make sure they took a picture, send it to Andy, and then Andy would tweet it out. Another thing about him is that periodically he would tweet out a simple phrase, "What is something good that happened to you this week?" And it wasn't just him being flippant. It wasn't just him goofing off. He really gave a damn about how you were doing. I remember when I got my promotion back in 2020 and battled back from homelessness. That sumbitch was as happy as ever, despite the fact that I never got to actually see him in person. Or when you get a new gig and he cheers you on. The whole time he's doing that, he started his own Twitter. He started on Twitter as a way to just let extended family and friends know how he was doing with his cancer treatment, but it became a thing. I had noticed, and some others who'd really followed him had noticed, that as this Lion season had worn on, he was starting to slow down. You were starting to see a decrease in the tweets. The energy wasn't there as much in the videos he would do, and the videos suddenly kind of slowed to a crawl and then stopped. We all kind of were afraid of it, but we knew something was up, because he'd talk about that it was getting harder for him to get through some of these days, that the disease, unfortunately, was starting to finally take him down a little bit. And then a few weeks ago, he makes the announcement on Twitter that he was going into hospice. And we all know what that means. Doesn't take long. And unfortunately, we find out morning of March 6th that we lost him. He's 1 year younger than me. He's 44, I'm 45. What I just said there only scratches the surface on what kind of guy he was. When he made the announcement he was going into hospice care, every single Detroit professional team put on either a scoreboard or in the stadiums, hashtag Fatterday. The Red Wings last night during their game put up a big memorial for him at Little Caesars Arena, and I'm sure the Pistons are going to follow suit, and the Tigers are going to follow suit, and the Lions are going to follow suit next fall, and I'm probably going to take a wild shot in the dark that during that Michigan State-Michigan game this weekend, his alma mater is going to look out for him too. For those of you who have been affected by cancer, have had somebody deal with cancer in their lives like I have, this sucks. It's the worst case scenario. And you lose a really good human being. And there ain't too many of them out there. I'll tell you that right now. Andy Isaac, as I tweeted a few hours after he passed, Andy Isaac was the best of us, man. Do yourself a favor. Get on Twitter. Follow World of Isaac. And just check out some of the things he was saying and doing. Check out some of his videos. It's an outpouring of love for a guy who was more than just a fan. He's a little bit of all of us. And he was kind of the glue that helped keep that Detroit sports Twitter and Detroit sports fan network together. I spent the last 10 years in Philadelphia. Philly fans are some of the craziest people in the world. But I've told them from day one, y'all don't understand. We're just as crazy as you are in Detroit. And now they're starting to see it. Wish we could have got the Lions to a Super Bowl for Andy. Hopefully the Pistons will do something in the playoffs. But more importantly, do something good for somebody today. Do something good for yourself. Make sure that people like Andy, who brought so much love and such a great vibe and great energy to the world, fight this good fight for him. Keep going for him. And no matter what you're going through, just know that you got this. And if you're dealing with cancer, keep up the good fight. Do that shit for Andy, too. My name's J. Scott Smith. Telling you to take care of yourself. God bless. Always dare to be different. Always have your pet spayed or neutered. And we are out of here. That was episode 123. Gonna work real hard to get 124 to you as soon as possible. Working on getting some guests. And like I said, check the link in the description of this podcast, because could use a little help right now too, getting through these things. But until next time, goodbye, everybody. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Normally, I would close it out like that, but I'm going to let Andy finish this one out for us. Take care of yourselves out there. I'll see you soon.
You know, it almost looks too pretty outside to say it, but It's really important. It's Sunday. It's game day. Fuck the Bears today. Fuck the Bears tomorrow. And fuck the Bears every day of our goddamn lives. Go Lions.
You're listening to the People's Podcast.
So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
This is JSC Radio.
This is a presentation of JSC Media.
I heard on the news about that five-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online. For like a year, she couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.